Okay, I've got 9:02. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you need to address the court. We'll begin with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven above, we're so thankful to be able to gather peacefully today. We come before you humbly asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over and protect the good citizens of Coryell County. Lord, we ask for your blessings and your leniency and your mercy as we deal with the floods and the tornadoes and the damage and destruction that we've had. Lord, we ask for your guidance and hand of guidance and wisdom to be placed upon this court so that we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Yes, ma'am. If you please stand and state your name, please.
My name is Joette. I am a landowner in the New Twin Caverns Development in Oldham Beach on County Road 267. I come to you today with major concerns regarding the construction of the roads within the development. I believe this falls under the Bridge and Road Department headed up by Mr. Layton and Mr. Mannix. I present to you a detailed report which includes density, moisture, and compaction. This compiled report data has been provided to me over the past 2 months at my request by Mr. Belt, your county attorney. I have copies of and their staff, the road and bridge department, and Judge Miller. I await demo in the month of May and hope to receive it in a timely manner to add the data to the existing report. I have spoken with Joe Dickerson of Langerman Engineering, whose company does the measurements for reports when contacted by the developer. The engineer from Eckerman Engineering is Marshall Brewer, who was involved in the road design and specifications, as I understand it. Last week, we, the landowners, were notified that the road construction for two roads, Yosemite and Yellowstone, have been signed off by Mr. Latham and Mr. Mannix for subgrade and paving. This is in process right now as we speak. I request a stay until the next meeting, June, for more current reports to be provided. I would also request that Marshall, along with the developer, Mr. Latham, Mr. Mannix, meet at the job site for themselves, along with a few landowners. Rice inspections hired by the county should also attend. I believe they will see that these two roads at this time do not meet the requirements as stated in Chapter 3 of Coryell County subdivision requirements. I believe that they will see, there are several stations that have failed in the past but do not show a retest. They are also supposed to test every 500 linear feet, which I believe have not been measured either. Per a report I received for subgrade testing approval 1, I asked if an area is signed off in 2023 and it does not appear to be retested in 2024, 1 year later, how can the integrity of the road still be there after all the heavy rains, numerous cars, trucks, and heavy equipment? Just yesterday, I observed parts of the road with deep tire grooves that a truck with 35-inch wheels were halfway buried, and the compaction on the sides did not meet the ratio required. In fact, I lost my footing. I did the splits and went down the embankment. It would be prudent for the county to grant the stay until complete data and testing is done and approved. If the county signs off and releases the bonds, and then it is determined while in discovery that both actions were done prematurely, Oriel County could be held responsible to make repairs. I really don't want to see that happen. So I have the report here that was sent to me. That's for 2023 and 2024. And if you look at the report that I handed out to you, those items are in the far left-hand corner where there's an X. So you can see where on that approval, they were approved to go forward. Now, for those of you who have ones in color, 2024 are in the shaded gray with the red, where the others from 2023 are just black and white. But if you will look at that, you will see that many notations say that they do not meet the specifications. I was told by Mr. Dickerson that when it came to moisture, they were looking for 15%. Sometimes it'll say retest, sometimes it'll just make a notation. They also look at the different temperatures and different things that are going on at the time. So sometimes they may not be exact, but they will meet or they will not meet requirements. Also, in compaction, they're looking at 95%. There again, too, they look at different things. Sometimes it'll be okay, sometimes it won't. But you'll note that there are many where they do not meet the specifications. Then if you look at the station numbers, you don't. Now, I can give you an example. I have lot 169. Lot 168, there's been major work. This is on Grand Canyon, major work. It just so happened, I was here in town on March 6th. I have videos because I was watching all these piles being accumulated on the road. I wanted to watch how they were doing it, more out of curiosity than anything else. And I watched pile after pile being flattened out. There was no water truck. The compaction. I'm no expert at all, but I can tell you it was not done correctly. Now, I have several videos. I've already shown them to Marshall Beckerman, and he's the one who supposedly designed the roads. I was also told by Rice Inspections, who you, the county, have hired to do, for Joe Dickerson, who is the main engineer out of Waco, their company, who does the road testing, that they are only go out there when they're called to come out, and that's not often. I was originally told Rice Inspections was going to be going out there 3-4 times a week. That is not the case. I've spoken to Mr. Rice personally 2 times on the phone in regards to this. So I am not comfortable with what's going on. In 10 years from now, the developer is going to be gone. He's going to leave all the landowners responsible. We're going to have our own road maintenance and repairs. Now, as everybody knows, you have to have a good foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, anything you build upon it will just crumble. I do not believe that we have a good foundation to start with. And there are 2 bonds right now for the roads. Unfortunately, they were already extended an extra year. They told us, the developer, the roads would be paid by last November. So a lot of us have put money into development, which myself included. We can't go forward. One time the roads were so bad, I had to leave my car here for 2 weeks until I could get a ride back to come and pick it up. Had to buy 4-wheel drive to get in and out. This morning, for me coming in here right now, I had to put it in four high to get out on the road, just to be safe to make sure I could get here. These roads, I've lived on dirt roads in the past. They are not ready to go forward and to have pavement especially put on. So I ask that you give a couple weeks, make it mandatory that Mr. Mannix, Mr. Latham, the engineers meet with the engineers who designed everything in person. No signing off the papers. Anybody can write anything down. You've got to see it to believe it. Myself included. I drove out here last night. I wanted to take a good look before I came and talked to you, just to tell you what currently how things are. And like I said, 35-inch wheels on a truck halfway buried in the crevice in the road. You would see for yourself, it's not ready.
Please, Marcella, if you can wrap up, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I had a prepared statement because I'm winded. Anyway, I thank you very much for your consideration and hope to hear your decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate a great report that you put together. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing or none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to?
Excuse me. Can you hear me?
Yes. Is this Mr. Ritter?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Took me a minute to figure out how to hit the mute button. Okay. Thank you. And I appreciate you having this meeting. I wanted to second, and she explicitly indicated all of the things that we've been concerned about, and we recently have discussed together on site the issues. One of the things that jumped out at me is that on April the 4th of this year, about 6 weeks ago or a month ago, the report that was signed off by the county road and bridge people indicated that it was ready for base and the sub base had been approved. I was out there last week on 524, a month later after the report said it was ready, and they had 40 13 yard loads of base material stacked up on the road on Yellowstone, which was part, excuse me, which was part of the approved road that was approved in April, on April the 3rd, and it was spread out the next day entirely. And then they did come back and roll it, but it was not done in lifts, which is 6 to 8 inch minimum lifts. And they couldn't have possibly in 24 hours run any tests. And this was done after it was approved. And then what jumped out at me is that I met with the engineer that signed off on the plans, Eckerman, and Mr. Marshall. Had previously, Mr. Latham and Mr. Mannix had given me, which was nice of them to give me a copy of the plans. I'm an architect and I know about cross sections. And I specifically asked Mr. Marshall, who signed off the plans. We met him. We coincided at a last week at a at the job site, and I asked him why the profiles weren't being met in over 2/3 of the areas, and he said, well, they haven't finished. And a week later I get letters that it was approved back in April, and Mr. Marshall said there was 4.9 miles of approved roadways ready for base. And he used the word paving, which is base, and then asphalt, 3 inches of asphalt. And I said to him, well, you had a specific section that showed a 1 inch slope crowning on all of the roads. And then you have which crowns from the middle to each side at a 1% max slope. He said, correct. And I said, you're now in front of my property, Mr. Marshall. And I said, what do you see? He says, well, it's not finished. And I said, well, my lot, I'm in lot 109. I said, I'm typical. I said, it slopes one way, right to left, no crown. And what is the, I said, your section shows the shoulder, 5 foot shoulder. I'd already knew what the section was. I said, what is the slope requirement? He said, 1 to 3. I said, what is mine? I said, it's 4 to 4. He said, well, they're not finished. I said, this is typical. I said, why would they do it wrong and then do it right? He said, they'll do it right. This was 10 days ago. I went back out there and watched them redo it again. And we don't want people to spend money and then redo it. That's not what we're about. We want it done right the first time. And I happened to be there yesterday when Joette was there. And I pointed out on the roads that they said are ready, there was deer tracks that were sinking 3 inches into the road base, the sub base, and even into the base that they recently put in. And I said, the specifications for the state for a county road calls for a 35,000 pound fire truck to drive across these roads. A deer can't walk across it without puncturing it 3 inches with their hooves. It's not done right. And the shoulders, in some cases, slope 4 to 4. And then to further that section discussion, I said, now when you get to the bottom of the 1 to 3 max, then it goes up into my property. I'm going up 6'6" again. And I said, what is the requirement? Mr. Marshall said, 4 to 1. I said, I don't see anything out here that meets that. He said, they're not done. I said, well, then how could they approve roads to be paved? He said, well, they won't be signed off until Mr. Manning signs off. And 5 days later, I get a copy that he had signed them off. And then I see him working on the roads again, and they're not doing it right. So I just want to join with the county and the owners, representative, anybody that wants to be there. I'll be there with a 24-hour notice, and I will explain my concerns, but we have to do it together, and we have to act together. That's all I ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ritter. We appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning?
I would. This is Steve Hotchkiss. I'm also a property owner and, yes, related to Joette. That is my mother. However, I was out there as well yesterday. I'm the owner of the truck with the 35-inch tires, and I did take a picture if anybody wants that email to them. It is sunk to the hub. And that was not my track. That was done by a large tractor. My guess is the grader, based off the size and the tread pattern of the tire. And the grader itself would have been sunk to its axle in that rut as well. And that is definitely in the middle of the section that was supposed to be paved within the next, 4 days, based off of the schedule that we were given by the HOA. So clearly what they're giving out to the landowners and what's actually happening is not correct. My main concern right now is not even near my property, but the intersection of Yellowstone and Pinnacle. There's a large hill and a large water collection area with zero place for that water to go. Having grown up in the mountains and knowing what water is going to do to roads, there needs to be a culvert there because that entire corner is going to wash out. Heavy rains will come down and spill over the road because it has no way to get past the road and down the pasture where it would normally have flowed. The shoulders, I would like to at least know what the plan is to make them come to spec, because what they've done and what I've seen in the PDFs of the plan does not allow for basically large walls where they've cut down to get to the road profile that they currently have. And the only thing I've seen so far is that the road profile keeps going up in elevation, which gives me the impression that they're just burying the problems. On few occasions, we've seen them dig down and regrade. However, that's in stark contrast to those approval letters that says that everything's good to go, signed off, go ahead and pave it. I don't see the evidence where that's the case. So I'll rest there. Thank you for the time.
No, thank you, Mr. Hotchkiss. And I'm I'm sure your mother appreciates your support. She's got a big smile on her face. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court this morning? All right, seeing and hearing none, we will move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. Noting that there are 3 items there, you may consider the consent agenda to be approved as a whole, or you can select any or all of those to be discussed individually. Got a motion from Commissioner Basham to approve. Got a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 6, Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Not much, Judge, other than it's there, kind of updated of all the damage surveys. Second part of the month. And there's still more coming in. Dangerous. Dead end roads and places people can access over.
Does this report indicate or cover roads that you've repaired and then re-repaired and potentially re-repaired?
Probably a good way of tracking that.
Okay.
All right. We've just been trying to work on keeping them up.
Okay.
One location on 158, we put the same culvert in 4 times. We put it in Thursday at 10:30 at 4 o'clock. It was coming. That's what we've been dealing with. Just trying to,
yeah.
And that's a 72-inch culvert. Close spot the road in the paved road. Come off the hills. Pretty dangerous if we didn't stress those.
Yeah. Okay. Anything for Mr. Latham? Mr. Latham, thank you for the update. Moving on to item number 7, which is update and actions on grants to include but not limited to SS4A, HMP, RCP, CDBG MIT, and CWPP. And we'll start off with SS4A. Ms. Jordan, how are you this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
So for SS4A, we were able to submit the implementation application last week on Thursday. no issues with that. So we'll just be waiting until awards are announced. And it'll probably be a couple months. But once I have a good idea of a date, I'll be sure to let everyone know.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anything for court for SS4A? Okay, we'll move on to hazard mitigation plan. I believe all of the participating entities have been contacted and are currently in the process of adopting resolutions. We have received one from Gatesville ISD. City of Gatesville is considering theirs this evening, and we have an action to consider a resolution by this court today.
Make motion to approve Coryell County Resolution CC24-02.
Second.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to approve Resolution CC24-02 and a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on HMP or the consideration of that resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. RCP. The last, we've had some community engagements. The last community engagement was supposed to be the City of Gatesville, and it has been canceled twice, I believe. Weather issues, and then obviously, pretty significant over in Temple. But that being said, I anticipate that we'll get that rescheduled. We need to get hold of MRB and find out what they can support based off of their office facilities and what they've got access to.
They are going to have a booth present at Chivalry on Saturday or the whole weekend, I guess. So, yeah. Supporting group.
But anything else under RCP? Hearing none, CDBG MIT, is Ms. Finney or anyone from Langford with us this morning? I haven't heard any updates since the resubmittal of the application. Mr. Belt, have you had any communication with him? Anything else to cover under CDBG MIT? And the last one, the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. I believe we're still waiting to hear on our application for implementation grant funding. Is that correct?
So awards were actually announced. Coryell County was not awarded. The biggest area where points were lost was that the county doesn't qualify as low income. But we're going to meet with the Texas Forest Service and kind of see how we can improve the application for the next round of funding.
Okay.
Judge, if I could add to that, what we may wind up doing is trying to rejigger the line a little bit so that we may have to make some decisions about where within the county.
Yes.
I know last time, I think if I recall the award process, not a single county in Texas received one. It was heavy California, West Coast, East Coast. Is that the same?
No. She's got a list, actually, Texas. This is what aggravated. Apparently, we're not as poor as Stevensville. So Eastland County got the full $10 million. So we're not sure how they did that. So we're going to, there were 11, I think, I think 10 or 11 in Texas that the largest one. Either one of those. Eastland County actually got two. They got one from Cisco and one from the county, which they pulled in about $22 fire. Most of the rest of them went east to the forest country, east Texas. So we want to talk to our friends in the Forest Service and see how Eastland County would ever pull that off.
It was Stephen Miller or Erath County?
It was Cisco. And then I think Eastland, so I should have said Stephen. It was okay. Cisco got one for almost 10. And I think Eastland County got one for almost 10. Of course, they had fires.
Yeah.
They got hit pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But that really wasn't the scoring criteria. And so I don't know how they got around their LMI. We want to look at how they did that. Because they shouldn't be too far out of line with us and some of that. So we won't look. Not going to quit. We'll go back and think of it. Be smart with that. See how the break is.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns under any of the grants that we've discussed or any other grants we need to discuss? Yes.
It some point, we're going to probably plan on getting reimbursed for SS4A funds. We've got more than kind in an amount to match the agent of SS4A. Talked about it seems like 14 times. I'm not sure whose job it is. But somebody's going to have to submit a request for reimbursement and the submission of in-kind work or cash that's been done to offset or participation in the grant program. I don't know. I assume that that's going to have to be submitted back through SIDCOG, since SIDCOG was the primary on that.
I'll get with Mr. Nelson and find out. Because that obviously impacts the actions that we would need to take, whether we're going directly to USDOT or whether we're going through the COG. Anything else we need to cover under grants? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8, which is an update on construction projects.
You want to?
We know cabinet pretty much what we're waiting on.
All right, I think everybody who has driven by has seen a lot of activity on the slab over there. This was as of 5/23, 75% of the steel was set. The first inspection was that Friday, and the studs should be going up this week. I drove by there yesterday and noticed that even some masonry work is being done there where the server room will go, because that's got to be a secured wall area. Two-thirds of the parking lot has been poured. Should be done by the end of the month. There's just been some discussion on, you know, when to, pour the entryways of when to. Because the minute we do that, then traffic will start going in there. The fire alarm and sprinkler permits, fire chief is going to review those, and then the outside inspection company for the city, Veritas, will come off on the alarm and sprinkler permits. We had several change orders that we discussed. These were ones that we knew were going to have to be addressed. One of them, probably the largest one, was on backfilling the retaining walls. Road and Bridge just doesn't have the equipment to do that. They are going to provide the material, and then looks like one of the subcontractors, more than likely, it's either TTG or Wolf. Can't remember which one's going to, do the backfilling. It's a lot of hand compaction. But the positive side was, and after inspecting those, we don't have to put as much rock in there. So there would just be some backfill and then the rock for, the drainage around those retaining walls. The SWPP is being worked on, which is the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. It's already in place. It's just being formalized. And the FDC, which is the fire department connection, that was a change order that, again, it's not gigantic because they've already got the pipe open, but Chief Baden came out and determined that parking lot turning radius wasn't large enough for the truck. So the FDC is going to just be moved out to one of the islands, if you will, in the parking area so that the truck can hook up on the side of the road. I learned a little bit about FDCs. It's really not to fight the fire. It's to put back pressure into the sprinkler system 99% of the time. If you see a severe drop in the water pressure, they'll bring a tanker truck or a pumper truck and actually connect up to it. And it's just really to keep the sprinkler systems going. I always thought it was just a hookup to fight the fire, but it's really not. And we're working with F8, should have a meeting with them on some of the server room. That means a lot of milestones. I'm done.
Good.
I'm complete.
I think so.
Okay. Anything else we need to cover under construction updates? Hearing none, moving on to item number 9, consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any items that the court needs to address at this point?
I'll make sure.
Okay. Is Newton noting no action taken for number 9, please, ma'am? Item number 10, consider a budget amendment number 8 for FY 2024 that went out in your packets. I believe that's SB 22 money shifted from pretrial diversion to backfill pretrial diversion expenditures.
Make a motion to approve. Second amendment number 8.
Second. We got a motion to approve amendment number 8 from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 11 is to consider budget amendment 7A for FY 2024. If you recall, in our last meeting, we approved budget amendment number 7. I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Wood, but there was not a need for the funding agreement. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We had a built in there funding mechanism on one of the vehicles to finance that, but we're just going to move some funds around within our line items, cover that up.
So this is a budget amendment for that previous budget amendment?
Yes.
To replace the previous budget amendment? It amends the amendment.
Yes.
Make a motion to accept budget amendment 7A from the
We've got a motion to approve budget amendment 7 alpha from Commissioner Basham.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 12 is consider issuing RFP 2024-03 for managed IT service provider for IT and internet services. This goes back to last year's budget. When we had discussions about having a managed IT service, we've operated up to this point without a formalized contract in place, which I believe we need to go through the RFP process to be able to procure those services. And as we move forward into FY25, it will give us a more firmed up number to be able to make those budget projections off of.
I'm not, RFPs don't happen every court session, so I need maybe a little, education. Shouldn't we have a scoring sheet with this?
I did not create one at this point. I was trying to get it put together. I was using a format that had been provided to me that did not have a scoring sheet, but it does have the kind of the value, or not a value, but what the criteria is. It does have it in the packet, and we would need to take those and put it into the scoring sheet format.
I guess we could, you know, might be okay with putting that out there, but then I'd like to do a separate approval on a scoring sheet. Yes. How it's done. Usually we do it all as, you know, all as one package. But that'll be for the rest of the courts also. Yeah, I mean, I saw some verbiage in there that says, you know, the standard, tell us about your staff, tell us about your past things, but you know, scoring sheet to me is pretty important on the weighting of how we are going to judge these folks.
What about, did you get a chance to look over this? Anything missing that you see?
I got it set up. I looked through it, attempted down my path to prepare it to the one we put out in 2020. I found my email from 2020 that I sent to the court, which the judge was on to the court that time, right, about the issues involving around the request for functions on high technology items and some questions and concerns the court had at that time regarding the RFP. I have not had a chance to go through this one in enough details, so address the questions that the court had when we got the responses to that one. The questions came after we got the responses to that RFP. And they're technical, as you might imagine, because my email was a full page long answering some of the concerns that the court had at the time. I don't even remember who the court had the concerns. It's been 4 years ago. But there were some, the concerns were to just kind of condense as much as I can. The concerns were that the responses weren't comparable price wise, maybe, or maybe even service wise, because I haven't had a chance to compare it all. So I don't remember exactly what the deals were, but the responses contained other things than managed IT support, I guess. The confusion of the court was, well, this person did this, this person did that. And so my email ended up saying, put all of that aside and look at what we asked for.
Right.
And compare those things, apples to apples. And at the time, my opinion was that the top power many of y'all had chosen to consider an interview, which I don't remember how many it was, two or three y'all. My opinion at the time, based on this email I read this morning, was that the top few were comparable in that area. Now, whether or not this RFP clarifies any of that in a manner that makes me feel like we might get responses that don't have that concern again.
I got you.
I had time to study a little bit hard.
Yeah, it was very broad of difference in the last one. So.
I don't know that, I just don't know Appendix 1 has got some information on it. I have no idea what some of the stuff is, where it's at. Might be helpful to give them the information out of our consolidated IT maintenance deal that we get from the data center right now. It's got a pretty big block of stuff on it that I've done. I don't see it in here. That don't mean it's not in here, because I don't know what some of these things are.
Judge, I think this is a great thing. We did talk about it at the last, budget. And I was kind of trying to go through and do a little number checking on how much we've, currently spent, and I'll continue to do that. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we table RFP 2024-03 and have Mr. Belt and you, Judge, kind of compare notes from what went on in 2020. Mr. Belt, you can even, if it's convenient, send that email along to us if you haven't. And then, consider this at the next regular Commissioner's Court meeting. Is that good enough, Ms. Newton?
Second.
We've got a motion to table from Commissioner Weddle, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 12? None. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider interlocal agreement between Frio County and the Leander Independent School District participation in cooperative purchasing program. And there was that agreement that went out in your packet.
Wood, was this yours?
No, I did not.
I believe Lieutenant Summers had me.
Oh.
Yes.
Talking to Fender, the cars. Remember what was it? Yeah. He was $5,000 for the purpose. This company out of Arkansas is periodically. He uses Fender ISD. And so we went through them, and they're actually cheaper.
Leander ISD put out an RFP, and then it was built up that other municipalities and our governments could piggyback off of that. That's what we've done. Big capped off there. Request for proposal.
I did draft this one for you.
You say you drafted this?
I did draft this.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I read through it. I don't see any, I was just looking for any gotchas.
So this thing, it's like, whoever said the other ISD is a part of a cooperative, big cooperative, with all ISD. It actually has been accepted by that other purchasing corporate school works. This is not between us and that corporate, but we're not eligible. Because
right.
They've got just what the NRIC's got. The NRIC did move the procurement on the program.
But it's the ISD buy board, basically.
Yeah. This allows us to buy since some says it's cheaper. Quickest and cheapest way to replace the vehicles that were casualties.
I'd make a motion to consider or to approve the interlocal agreement between Coyle County and Leander Independent School District participating in a cooperative purchasing program.
Second.
I have a motion to approve from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 13?
No, it's not on there, but
I don't mean to cut you off, but that's not directly relevant to this. So yes, we can follow that up with discussions later, but and we did get everyone got that price list. Okay, but what we're under right now is considering the interlocal agreement. And Ms. Newton, did we take a vote on that?
No.
Okay. But we did have a motion and a second.
Yes.
All right. Good. Very good. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 14 is to consider reappointing Ray Ashby to a 2-year term on the Board of Trustees for the Central County Services. This is an item that was tabled from our last meeting. We had the title or the agency incorrectly listed. So again, this would be to reappoint Ray Ashby representing Creole County for the Board of Trustees for Central County Services.
I will only ask one question. Is there anybody on the board that would like to have that position versus Mr. Ashby? Nobody on the board. All right. It was a compelling letter by Barbara Thielen. And so we'll make a motion that the court blesses the appointment of Ray Ashby representing Coryell County on the Central County Services Board.
There's a motion to reappoint Ray Ashby from Commissioner Weddle.
Second.
A second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. As have motion carries. Item number 15, consider a plan for the county to gather, format, and input data on disaster losses. Mr. Bell, I believe you'd brought that to the attention of the court.
Yes, sir. So as I'm sure you all know, the governor requested Coryell County to be added to the presidential declaration. We were not on the first presidential declaration. And to say the truth, I don't know if another presidential declaration has come out that night. That was the county's last several days. I don't think it has, but if it has, I'm wrong. The problem is, look on TDOM's website. We have a DSO event set up for the input of loss data on TDOM's website, which my understanding is what feeds this report that TDOM puts out. And the way I read this, for Coryell County, they got a recovery summary for all the counties, and if you get down to Coryell County, you'll see that it said on May 4th, our DSO was received on 5/24, that the governor disaster was declared on 5/2, we declared a disaster on 5/5. Is that correct? That's Sunday 5/5?
Yes, that's
so. And then and the rest of the blanks. The rest of the blanks are blank. So there's no individual assistant grant dates or public assistant dates that have been set yet, because I assume we have not got our declaration. The if you go on further past that, you get to actually the county data, the local estimates. Yeah, I think we've got to meet our threshold before we're qualified. Our threshold was $300,000, and we have put zero losses put on the system right now. Threshold is 382,228, looks like. Look at this on the Tatum's website. You know, counties like Blanco, Mosky, Coleman, Eastland, Falls, Freestone, they've all met their county threshold, mainly with road and bridge losses that have been put on the system. So I think put stuff in the system, you have to log on to this PSTAT deal right here, put losses on the system. But I'm not sure, because that the DSO deal looked a little bit different. But I do know when I'm reading numbers on the form, until we figure out a way to get all of the data gathered up and put somebody assigned the task of putting the information on the system. I don't know presently that we have anybody do those things. So I had been visiting Road and Bridge, obviously, y'all see from number 16, regarding trying to get some help to apply for the funds, the recovery funds for immediate losses. And I was not involved in that process in the past when it was done over the years, but it's been 16 and 15, 15, 16. I remember another one there too. And so these are different than the like the CBDG mitigation funds, which come after the fact. These are immediate funds that we can apply for as soon as we qualify. Which we hadn't qualified yet, but I think we hadn't qualified because we haven't put any data in for our losses. But I don't know the answer to all these questions. I just know that something needs to be done so that we're only just we meet our threshold requirements for losses, certainly meet them. We just got to get it put in there somehow and to figure out a plan for helping. Road and Bridge is pretty busy right now fixing things. They really don't have a lot of time to sit down and put this data in here. In these systems, and I don't know what y'all want to do to make it happen. That's the reason I asked, based on my conversation with Road and Bridge. So I don't know what we need to consider a plan to gather, format, input this data. I don't know.
I'm not sure that there's anyone in the room right now that's qualified to answer the questions that you have. Mr. Matthew Weeks is our regional recovery guy from Tatum. I have reached out to him and asked if he could meet with us Thursday at any time via Zoom, because there are some new formats that he has distributed that were not used back in 15 and 16. So having an understanding of that format of the data requirements, data collection requirements, I think plays into the data collection and then how we upload and input. I don't think that's the significant part of it. I think capturing our data is the key part of that. And I would like for us to be able to do that correctly the first time, because I do. One of the areas I don't think that we've really captured in the past was our law enforcement efforts. I think we've just primarily focused on Road and Bridge and materials and expenditures. But I believe there's some man hours that can be captured and utilized. As well as just even commissioner's time that y'all spent out there. So
I agree, Judge. I still like this report. You know, it's got all these blanks of it. It's got all the loss categories. It's got the work for individual losses as well as public losses and business losses and other eligible entities like hospitals, emergency services, things of that nature. And they're just blanks. I mean, you just put wherever you need to in there and just describe what the cost was. And of course, Road and Bridge is concerned the emergency protective measures is on there, you know, dispatching folks out to go check over across the block them and block them in Highway 84 and then water rolls over it. One picture I saw the 4 DPS troops sitting there, you know, blocking the highway 84. So it's lots of data to be put in this. Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
We don't start it.
We don't
get over 380 to begin with.
So I guess I agree with you. We need to have a meeting with them and figure out the format that needs to be collected together to up in this. Make sure we know which we need to come out first, what data we need, and how we need to direct people. It looks to me like from Tatum's website that this ISTAT individuals can log on to Tatum's website with their lost stuff in there themselves. And I don't know if none of them have or if it just hasn't made it to the system, but according to Tatum's, as of 5/28 and 24, they've got zero losses for El County. And this is for the April severe weather event. And it looks like most all the counties started putting their stuff in May, in the first part of May there. I guess some of them just got hit in April. Looks like most of the counties is May, that first week of May. So I know it's right then. Obviously, of course, not to meet again in 2 weeks. We had some feeling about when we're wanting to contract that out or when we feel a position. We have some positions that are currently open, could be moved around perhaps, or some have options. No doubt about that. Of course. Proceed, but that's the reason I thought we all have a discussion about it. We formulated a plan, so maybe by the time we meet here again, we've got a ready.
Yeah. Don't want to miss the window. Don't want to miss the window on. Should you have a meeting Thursday?
That's what I'm trying to get scheduled. Because I've emailed them, they can participate by Zoom and then identify. Representative from Road and Bridge, representative from law enforcement, to kind of collect y'all's notes, directly. That would be the intent of that.
What's your thoughts, Judge, on where we kind of get everybody lined up together, that stuff up? Where's the positive?
I think for emergency management purposes, I think that falls squarely on the responsibility of the emergency management, and that right now is me. So between Lisa and I, we'll get it uploaded.
Wait, right when? Right your brain,
man. Well, I think we definitely need to come up with a plan. Okay.
You couldn't pay me to take the elevator.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't take it. But anyways, I definitely